Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I have brought along one of my favorite friends, Richard Presser.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. What a beautiful Saturday evening it is once more.
Indeed. And what I want to tell all of you is, you know, it's one of my favorite times of the week where we can get together and perhaps touch your heart. I look forward to that each and every time we come. Last week, we had a Knights Templar that we had interviewed, and it was such a success. People loved him so that what we have done is we have invited another knight to come. This is a different one with a different message. And here he is, Richard. Have you connected with him?
Yeah, I think he's the same guy with a different message, though. I don't think it's a different one. You just check.
It's not the same guy. You're pulling my leg.
Oh, dear. So let's look into this. These are really special characters. They've been so maligned by history, so maligned because they had to keep what they were about really essentially secret and not written down, because if they'd revealed it, the Catholic Church would have pretty quickly dispensed with them through the Inquisition. So they kept it all hidden. And so history has made up its story about the Templars, which has very little to do with the truth of them. So let me connect with this character's energy. If anything, this is more loving than last week. Just beautiful, gentle, loving energy. Almost overwhelming. Really is as simple as that. Wisdom, yes, but love essentially, gentle love. Not overwhelmingly powerful, strong, yes, but not overwhelming, just this beautiful, loving, gentle energy. Quite extraordinary. So let me see what he has to say to us. My dear friends, it is a long time since we were on your beautiful planet. Indeed, many of us came many times during that period. And when I say we came many times, you should understand that I'm not saying the individual souls returned, but as with all reincarnation, what comes forth is another finger of consciousness, another few particles sent forth from that same monad, that totality of soul as originally created by all there is in the center of the cosmos. And so that is the nature of reincarnation. New fingers of consciousness from the same monad coming forth to Earth. And so many of us came many times, you might say, through that period, because it was such an important period. The work that we were doing was, well, it is me saying it, but I feel the work we were doing was profound. We built that extraordinary path from Spain to Roslyn Chapel, which enabled people, if they did the work, to actually ascend. And your history, of course, does not record this, but indeed it is true, and there were quite a number of the Knights Templar who did this. Not a great number, but perhaps a dozen or more who chose to do this during the time when this path was under our control, you might say. And as was mentioned last week, This was an important pilgrimage path that so many who were connected to these deeper secrets, these deeper mystical understandings, would utilize this path. They would travel it to gather the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the clarity, the awakening. All of these things were part of this pilgrimage. And your history, of course, records pilgrimages to Jerusalem, but really for so much of our time and for quite some time beyond it, the really important pilgrimage was this carefully disguised pilgrimage that traveled through these cathedrals, finishing at Roslyn Chapel. It really was a wondrous thing. And so to create this and to protect it and to foster it and to reinforce it was a very important role. People do not understand how complex the Gothic cathedrals are. Yes, they are an amazing architectural wonder, you might say, because it is as if these massive buildings sprung out of nowhere. If you can imagine the time frame in which they were built and the state of the towns in which these buildings were built, they were so dominating, you might say, of the surrounds. Yes, all of the major Catholic Christian churches were large, but the Gothic cathedrals were on a different level. No one had built such large open buildings of this nature before. They were imposing just of their nature. But more than this, as you have heard, they were built on these key energetic sites, these key points where ley lines crossed, key locations known to the Druids and those who went before them. And in addition to this, each of these sites had water flowing underneath them, because the flow of water is also an important aspect of these energetic unfoldings, you might say. And so some of the work that we did in virtually all of these cathedrals was to direct the underground stream to flow exactly where we wanted it in relation to the layout of the cathedral, so that that water flow flowed exactly through the key points in the cathedral. This is not well understood. And indeed, some of those water flows have since been interfered with. For the most part, we believe simply out of ignorance, not because the individuals understood what they were doing, but simply earthworks or modifications, you might say, that interfered with these flows. Further, it has not been mentioned to you, but of course those wondrous rose windows, those massive coloured windows with geometric shapes and key individuals expressed in them, carried important information. But even more than that, the colours in the windows were actually made from gemstones that were ground up and included in the glass. And this was done to bring particular energies into the cathedrals. People have no idea how complex these extraordinary buildings are. And as been mentioned, there were so many forms of carvings and other shapes and structures included in these buildings. Many of them included labyrinths, which you could walk for the energetic benefit thereof, the openings that occurred as you walked that essentially circular feminine path. In addition, the roofs served a particular purpose. And so I could go on, but so much of this material is in detail in those extraordinary recordings that we have given to these two and which are now available to you if you are interested. they include all of this amazing information so that you can understand how these buildings were built and, in a sense, why they were built. So much is included in them. So we are very proud of what we achieved by creating these buildings and, of course, many other Gothic buildings elsewhere. If you understand that we built these using the same kinds of secrets that were used to build the pyramids in Egypt and elsewhere, such that we rendered these massive blocks of stone that we were working with, we rendered them feather light and soft, so we could maneuver them around very easily. And indeed, we undertook quite a deal of the construction work at night, so people could not see what we were doing. And so many of those secrets and understandings that existed in the past were actually available to us as Templars in our time. So the wonder of who and what we are is quite extraordinary and not at all reflected in your history. And those buildings, in addition to serving the purpose that they served then, act powerfully still today. They act to, you might say, enhance the energy flows in and out of the planet on those points. And indeed, that enhanced flow is very important for the time in which you live, this time when the changes are coming forth, where the advanced consciousness that was present upon the planet in your distant past is being reclaimed, despite all of the best efforts of those who wish to dominate humanity to shut this down. People do not understand that this is the fundamental agenda of these beings. They understand that it was long planned for this liberation to occur, and they have worked extremely hard to eradicate all evidence of that advanced culture, but also to, you might say, destroy the sense in the individual human being of who and what they are. But my friends, they are failing. The more they struggle to completely overrun humanity with their dogma and their control, they are failing, because the energies that are coming forth upon the planet are causing this transformation to unfold despite them. They cannot resist this despite their very best efforts. You see, what is going on here is a much, much bigger picture than most of humanity understands. This change is not just an event for humanity. Indeed, it is an event for your entire cosmos, but indeed beyond that. Indeed, it is an event for all creation, all expressions of consciousness on every level. It is an upliftment that flows throughout all, because this time marks the end of that period where the dark have been present and to a large degree have held sway in so much of creation, not just upon your planet. And their days are over, my friends. Yes, you still have some remnants upon your planet and little pockets that might appear here and there, but to all intents and purposes, their days are over. And once the final threads are cleared, this unfolding will begin upon your planet and flow right throughout all expressions of creation. And so I mentioned this because you need to understand the level of commitment that exists from the very most fundamental expressions of creation, you might say, to have this unfold. And what I'm talking about is way beyond the one that you know of as prime creator or all there is or source in the middle of your cosmos. Yes, this is an important being from your perspective, from so many aspects of your perspective. But beyond that, there is a great deal more. And those who sit at the most fundamental level of creation have driven this change from a long, long time ago in what you would consider time, such that this unfolding will prevail. And the final attempt to stop this, you might say, would occur in this most dense expressions of consciousness where soul has existed, and that is on your planet. The dark believed that they could dominate and control things, but they have failed. They have come forth in their arrogance and been destroyed as a result. And so it has been a carefully laid trap. And at the moment, that trap is finally being shut down because it will never be needed again. And once it is complete, this process will unfold. And so those who try to control humanity really have no idea of the scale of what they are dealing with. They think they can dictate to humanity, and those who work with them from beyond your day-to-day human experience also do not understand the true nature of what it is that they are dealing with. Their game is over. And when it is completely cleared, these changes will flow forth. And the work that we did with the Gothic cathedrals to enhance those energy flows in and out of the planet in those key points, this was a key aspect of the preparation that was undertaken in our time to assist what is happening in your time. So we are very excited to witness the changes coming forth in your time. It was a key focus of what we were doing, even though the people amongst whom we lived had no clue of what was planned for your time. Just as those who surrounded Yeshua and Mary Magdalene and wished and witnessed the extraordinary feats that they undertook in their short time of their public ministry before Yeshua's crucifixion, they had no understanding of the fundamental, more fundamental work that these two were undertaking in terms of the work to refresh the human DNA, and also other work which was critical that it be undertaken to prepare for your time. So there is an untold story here, of which there are many pieces, you might say, and the journey of the Templars is actually quite an important piece, because we refreshed so many things from an energetic perspective, from a understanding perspective. We refreshed things within the grid system so that they would be sufficiently active for when those of you that have come forth to, you might say, pick up the threads and complete the work would be able to do so. We worked energetically on so many levels. We were able to travel the cosmos, those of us that had developed those skills. We could travel and connect with our monads, with every aspect of our monads that had been sent forth to Earth and elsewhere. We could connect with our Creator. All of these things were open to us. And so we, in many ways, were so much like those early Christians who were willing to give up their lives in the Colosseum, because to deny the truth of themselves was far too great a price for them to pay. It was more important to them than life itself. And those who threatened them did not understand why they would make that choice, because they did not carry that understanding. And the same is true of the heart of the Templars. Not all of those that work with us, that worked with us in that time, carried this level of knowledge. There was a hierarchy, and only those who had, you might say, demonstrated their abilities at the lower levels and had walked their path diligently were given access to the most precious secrets at the heart of the Templars. Most of the people who worked within our organizations were taught the simple Catholic Church's teachings. That was the starting point. And then, as individuals moved up amongst the ranks of the knights, so it was that greater secrets were shared with them. But this is just a fraction of the truth of who and what we were. And I wanted to give you a little more sense of the great secrets that we carried and brought forth, the great honor and privilege we felt to, in a sense, awaken aspects of community within the time and place in which we lived. Because, as was mentioned last week, the introduction of the letter of credit transformed the risk of travel on so many levels, and it changed the nature of trade and the freedom with which people could travel long distances. All of these things were simply transformed using the letter of credit. So this is all I wished to say to you, my friends, to give you a further sense of who and what we were and what we were doing, and to share with you some of my excitement of what we did and what you are part of in your time, because truly what we were doing was in so many ways simply preparation for what is unfolding in the extraordinary time in which you live. Even though today it is virtually invisible to most of humanity, you are in those moments when this will change, when it will begin to emerge initially in the experience of those of you close to this work, but then flow out to connect and awaken those of humanity whose souls have made a connection with and a commitment to these changes. So be at peace, despite the struggles you are all experiencing in your various ways, and be heartened and excited about what awaits you. And so it is.
My goodness, what a beautiful message. I would like to thank the two of you for bringing this forth. Lois from Canada is on line one. Welcome, Lois. What is your question?
No, I was just listening and feeling it in my heart. I don't have a question.
Maybe you have a comment. What were you feeling?
I was feeling the truth of it. It was very enlightening.
Yes, it was a beautiful
message. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Lois. Appreciate your comment.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Kath from, looks like Wisconsin, is on line two. Welcome, Kath. What is your question?
Well, welcome. Yes, I was wondering if the Templar energy tonight could tell me if I was once one of them.
What do you feel that you might have been?
I feel like I was, and I feel like I helped work on one of the cathedrals, the one in Truro, Cornwall, England. And I was
exciting. Let's see what he has to say. Richard?
Yes. You were one of the Templars. You came forth in several lifetimes, in fact, during that period, as did many of your dear colleagues, because, Kath, you are one of those that is what we have called an incarnated cherubim. And again, it is no surprise that you are drawn to the work of these two, because this is what they have been doing.
That's wonderful. I was in the cathedral in Truro, and as soon as I walked in, I felt like I had a connection to it, and I could never figure that out until I heard last week's show.
It's interesting how a word or two can waken up memories or feelings, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I am just so overwhelmed by all of this.
Well,
thank you so much.
I would suggest, my dear, that you meditate on it a little bit. Imagine yourself back in that cathedral. Imagine yourself as one of the Templars and see what comes of it. I suspect that this is just scratching the surface on the information that you will get.
I took a picture of a mural that was carved into the wall of Jesus being led to the cross, and it showed how so many people were just talking and not paying attention, and I was in tears at this. I was thinking, how could they not understand?
Yes. Bless you, Kath, and thank you for your question and your comment.
And Kath,
I
suggest you send me an email and connect with me so I can fill in some gaps for you.
I sent you an email this evening.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Well,
about this very thing.
What a wonderful invitation.
So,
now we
have
after
you read it, you can.
Thank you, Kath. We have Raphael from New York on line one. Welcome, Raphael. What is your question or comment?
I bless all of you, Carolyn, Richard, and company. For the last 50 years, I've been after information and knowledge and researching everything spiritual and history that's not recorded on the earth. What I'd like to know is, what is the source of this compulsion of mine to know?
Did you understand the question, Richard?
Yes. There are many in this lifetime who carry the kind of compulsion that you describe. It is a desire to remember the truth of who and what you are. And really, it is at the heart of most spiritual inquiry in your world when you analyze it. People want to understand who they are. It is that question that comes forth. And so it drives a questioning, an examination. And for the most part, if you truly follow the thread of it, it takes you within, because the fundamental answer to that question lies within you. But also there is a lot of evidence within your world in so many ways. And if you have been searching this for this long, Raphael, you would know that the true history of things has been largely obliterated within the public record. You need to look, you might say, obliquely or from a different perspective to begin to uncover the truth. Indeed, I would suggest to you that going within and seeking answers is, in a way, looking obliquely when viewed from the mainstream perspective within your society, within your world. But indeed, it is the truth of what it means to be a human being. And my dear friend, you too are one who carries a very close connection to the work of these two. You are too one of those individuals who are an aspect of a cherubim angel that is incarnated to assist with this work in this time. It is part of what has driven this inquiry within you. It is such a powerful force for those who are open to this inquiring process, this listening. And it does seem to me that you are one who has grasped that inquiry and run hard with it. And I honor you for this.
I do thank you very much. I'd like to know if I was incarnated in any of those groups, from Moses to Joshua to the Egyptian to Templars.
Do all of those things resonate with you?
Yes.
Sounds like you've been a busy man.
Yeah.
It is the truth of things that the many of those cherubim that incarnate were present in the time of Yeshua, and as you will have understood from last week and this week, were present as Templars through that time. The heart of the Templars always were incarnated cherubim and aspects associated with these two leading this call tonight. And also, of course, there was a connection with Moses. History does not convey this overly well, though some have figured this out, and that is that the one that is in your history books as Moses is also the same individual that was that Pharaoh Akhenaten. They are one and the same. And indeed, that individual was again surrounded throughout much of his time by many of the cherubim. Again, this was a key time where key work was being undertaken. There are moments in history, you might say, where key work has been undertaken since the time of the fall of Atlantis, some 12,000 years ago. And that time of Akhenaten and Moses was one such time. The time of Yeshua is another. The time of the Templars is a third, and so on. And there are others. So I mention these things to you because indeed you are present in all three of these that you have asked about.
Right. How exciting. What a beautiful answer. And thank you for calling, Raphael. And now Sally from Virginia is online too. Welcome, Sally. What is your question, dear?
Thank you. I'm glad you're so much better tonight. Carolyn, you have told me I was with you as a Templar when you were the leader of the Templars. Where was this, and when, and what work were we doing?
Richard, did you understand the question?
Yes. Some understand that indeed the one that is credited with founding the Knights Templar, known as Hugh de Payen, was indeed an aspect of a monad associated with Carolyn. And indeed, the leadership of the Templars on many occasions, not always, but on many occasions, were aspects of either one of these two leading this call. And so it is important to understand this piece. And also, it is important to recognize that indeed you incarnated several times during the time of the Templars, Sally, which means there were different fingers of consciousness from your monad that came forth through that period. And so it is not useful really to try and examine the detail of what it is you were doing in any given lifetime, other than pursuing the work of the Templars, which was manifold. Of course, building the Gothic cathedrals was part of it. Undertaking the building of the commercial structures, the community structures in which the Templars operated was also important. Warfare was unfortunately part of what had to be done, and we were very good at this. Carefully trained our horses and the knights. We were a formidable force when we went into battle, and very few opposed us. Indeed, the way we operated drove fear into the hearts of so many who opposed us. And you, dear one, participated in many such battles. So it is fair to say that you participated in many aspects of what the Templars were doing. And as you listen to the recordings of these two, the messages that these two have brought forth, I anticipate that you will find memories triggered, recollections triggered by listening to those recordings more than simply reading the words, because the energies of those recordings carry a great deal more than simply reading the words. So just await for the arrival of that material, dear one. It will help you greatly in connecting with that time.
Thank you
so much, Sally, for calling in. We all appreciate it. Blessings to you.
Thank you. Blessings. Much.
Was there something else?
No, thank you. I send you love and healing.
I didn't hear you.
She's sending you love and healing.
I send you much love and healing.
I just love
you,
it.
Thank
yes.
you, and thank the Templar.
Yes. I have a question about the gems that were ground up and put into the glass in the windows. And we know, it is our understanding that rubies and sapphires and
emeralds.
And emeralds were used. Can you give us some indication as to the effect that these gems had upon the human body?
It is not well recognized today that color has a great deal of effect upon the human body. Colored light, but more particularly, it is not well understood today that the fundamental attraction that humanity feels for these beautiful gemstones, in fact, relates to an energetic connection that they have. On a subconscious level, people understand that these crystals, these colored gemstones, induce changes, induce healing within the physical human form. And so what we did by grinding up those gemstones and including them in the glass was to make the energies, the healing energies reflected by those gemstones, available within the environment of the cathedrals. And indeed, it was all done in such a way that the energies that were set up by the light coming in through those windows actually remained within the cathedral for overnight until the light could once more come in through the windows. It is hard for you to imagine this. And so these colors were working upon the various energy centers of the body, the chakras, of course, but also many of what you know as nadis, the lesser energy points on the surface of the body. And there was a cleansing process that was triggered by this, which went throughout the physical body itself. So without getting into the specifics, the energies that were set up in these cathedrals as a result of using those colored gemstones ground up into the glass was such that it enhanced the healing of the physical human body that was undertaken by being present in these cathedrals. It is important for you to understand that the key purpose for these cathedrals was indeed an awakening of the truth of who and what it means, or who and what you are as a human being. And so cleansing and healing and activation were all key elements of what these cathedrals were about. And as has been mentioned, there were many traditions involved with achieving these outcomes. There was not just one single path, and we made available many of the elements of many of these paths, including alchemy, in our cathedrals. So these extraordinary buildings in various ways contributed to this healing and cleansing and activation process. And if you understand the purpose of a spiritual journey, yes, it is about gathering wisdom and understanding, and that was supported by the mystery schools that were available in Chartres in particular, but indeed in various ways in all of those key cathedrals that I've mentioned and others. And ultimately, the purpose of this is to understand the truth of who and what you are. And once you have achieved that understanding, to be able to make use of that knowledge and understanding in activating the full capability of the human physical form. It is like a temple, you might say. It has so much that it makes possible that is unknown to most people today. It is such a sad thing to witness, but on another level, it is an exciting thing to see more and more people beginning to develop some level of awareness that they are much, much more than they have been persuaded that they are. So the gemstones primarily played a role in fostering the healing of the physical form.
From what you're saying, it would seem to me that it would be important for us to wear these gemstones today. Is that correct?
It is helpful to wear these gemstones today. Not only to wear them, but indeed to intentionally connect with them, to intend that the healing powers, the healing energies that they carry, be activated and be utilized within your physical form. It is not enough to simply hang it around your neck or put it in your pocket, but rather focus on activating it and encouraging the utilization of the energies it carries to assist with the healing of the human physical form.
Thank you. Would it be helpful to take some of these gemstones and place them in water and drink the water with that same intention?
This too would help. It is another way to bring the energies into the body. It is true that water will pick up these energies if it is placed in the sun, and again, intention is used to activate the gemstone such that the energies are placed in the water, and indeed drinking them in this manner is a very useful way to proceed.
Since we're talking about gemstones, is size important?
It is the nature of the vain human to consider that the size of a gemstone is important in its effectiveness, but in truth, size is unimportant, and perhaps this is well illustrated by the fact that we ground the gemstones up into very fine particles for use in our windows. There are no large crystals remaining in any of those windows, and yet their effect is truly wonderful. So do not be concerned about size. It is simply the presence of the particular gemstone that is important.
It sounds like what we're picking up on is the energy of the stone. Is that more in line with what you're talking about?
That is correct.
Very good. Thank you so much for all of this marvelous information. And we are getting, again, close to the end of our radio show. Richard, is there anything that you would like to discuss with regards to web pages or areas that you would direct people to read?
Well, of course, the website that relates to this particular work, I'll put a link to it on the email that I send out in regard to the recording for this show, so don't hold me to it. I think it's called True Stories of the Templar Knights, with dashes between those words, .com.
That's great. Putting it in writing really does make a difference for us forgetful people.
Well, not only that, you can click on it and bingo, there you are. It's the wonder of the internet and HTML and all that wonderful stuff.
Isn't it marvelous? I love it too.
I better not say any more about that, or people might think I know what I'm talking about.
You really do know a lot more than what you're acknowledging. So is there anything at all that you would like to add to any of this that we have discussed tonight, Richard?
There's nothing that really comes to mind, Carolyn. I just perhaps would like to reiterate what an extraordinary experience it has been, really putting this material together. You know, I've listened to these recordings so many times and worked with them, edited them, you know, multiple times in most cases. And then when I have sit and watched and listened to Adam's final video version of these things, it's like I haven't heard them before. The wonder of the content of some of this material, it's just so exciting and really in ways so profound that, you know, you'd think I'd be pretty bored with it all, but I for one haven't felt that way. It's just there's so much exciting material, I think, that's in those recordings, and I guess I just wanted to share that reaction with people.
Something that I want to mention, Richard, is you really are a master in teaching other people how to connect with those on the other side, how to look within the body and follow certain lines of what's going on in the body. And you are a master at that. If there are people
Carolyn. I had a good teacher.
If there are people who wish to learn how to do this, where would they go to find out about it?
Yes, the best place is our Right Brain Magic work. The website is called rightbrainmagic.com. You can go there and get a little more detail on it, listen to the stories, read the stories of some of the people that have done this work with us, both with me and with Carolyn. And if you're drawn to it, order a session and I'll work with you, help you to open these doors and to build your trust in what is essentially a natural ability that we all have to do this. When I do this work, I'm not doing something that any of you can't do. It's a very natural ability that we all have. We've just been encouraged to believe that, you know, it's out of woo-woo land, it's not real, and, you know, if you're doing it, it's, you know, it's of the devil, is what the Catholic Church taught. So people, you know, shied away from it. But really, we can all do this.
Thanks for bringing that up, because it's a truth that we need to understand, because once you believe that something is possible, the doors just fly open. And if you don't believe that something is possible, there's no way that you can open up a path to that knowledge. So thank you for mentioning that, Richard.
My pleasure. And so we don't hear on this radio show very much the extraordinary skills that you have in regard to this, but I remember when I was first beginning to connect with your work, I would listen to the recordings of your radio shows when people would call in, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and just the display of skills that you have, your ability when people are talking to you to simply go to a particular lifetime and to witness it and to help them connect with it and understand it rather than just give it to them. Extraordinary skills. Wonderful. Leave me in the starting stalls.
Thank you for saying that, Richard. And it is something that each and every one of you are capable of. I think that's the important thing that comes from this discussion. You are all capable of this. And having a session with Richard, he would open that door to your own abilities, because as human beings, we forget, well, maybe we've been taught to forget, of our greatness.
Truly.
And really, what we hold are great abilities. And just to open up one doorway to some of those abilities, I think is especially important. Richard, we're getting to the end of the show. You know, an hour goes by so quickly.
Indeed.
Is there anything that you wish to leave our audience with?
I think I've said most of the things I want to say, Carolyn, about it's just a wonderful ability that we all have to do this. And the key thing is to accept the truth of who and what you are, the truth of what it means to be human. It is so much more than this physical being that we've been encouraged to believe that we are, so much more. And I know so many listening to this understand this on some level, but to open these doors and begin to pursue them and to grow a trust of yourself, of your own ability to do this without relying on some formal organization, if you will, to act as some go-between to what is in essence a natural part of you. That's really such a key thing to understand, the sovereignty of the individual, the right to this ability to connect with your creator, with your monad, with the truth of who and what you are on your terms without somebody else defining that for you, setting out some parameters or definitions or dogma, whatever those things are. That is so contrary to the true nature of what it means to be a human being, to freely go within and experience the truth of yourself. That's the one of being human.
How exciting and powerful all of that is. And so I will leave you with the words that you touched on earlier. As human beings, we are extremely powerful, and we need to thank God for that, thank our monad for that, and work in its power and learn as much as possible along these lines. Richard, thank you so much for what you have brought forth, and the Templar that came and gave us the information, we thank him also. And so I will say goodbye for now. Until the next time.
Goodbye for now, and thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you, Richard. Good night.